One of these days, we're going to be sitting there for the master to come around and bring us the food that we're going to prepare. And that we're going to eat for the body. And I believe that's what he's speaking about, come and dine. And we're going to dine with the Lord, but he's got a whole lot of individuals he's going to serve. I think a whole lot of people is going to serve, is going to be the servants, is going to be the angels in heaven. And it might be some of the old time warriors too. I don't know who all is going to be. But I do know this.
Just do it out.
No, here you go. I do know this. That is going to be a wonderful and a glorious time. Can you imagine just being happy all the time? Can you just imagine that you're not going to have no sickness? Sister Huff, can you imagine that one day we ain't going to have no cane to tote around with us? That's right. And Brother Bill, and you ain't gonna. And you don't hurry up, you might go for. You get that surgery, but that's all right, cause you get there, you ain't gonna have to worry about it. But no, we ain't gonna have to worry about. Well, we shouldn't even have to worry about surgery today, anyhow. Because he's the one that does. He's the only thing the surgeon. The only thing the surgeon can do is cut the skin. He can't go and do nothing else. Oh, he can go in there and he can fool around and everything else, but he don't know what he's doing.
Amen.
I mean, the Lord is going to have to give him the right thing to do. Because the Lord's going to, and the Lord can also. Right then, they say, oh, they healed. Sew them back up. And even that, they don't even have to sew you back up. Because if you ever thought about, and I know that now, this day and time now, they use this, what they call the super glue. They don't use no needle, nothing like that, or even clamps anymore. They use super glue to hold the skin together. And they say, well, as soon as it heals and everything, you ain't gonna have to worry about that super glue. And it ain't gonna be on all outside of you. It's gonna be gone. A bunch of dummies. Don't they realize? That we have somebody else that's going to come out and do the healing. And a whole lot of times, we will cause things to happen. I don't know why I'm getting off on this. I really don't. I don't mean them by Bill. I don't know. But really, no, what I'm about to say. No, really. You know, when an individual, when they heal, and when their body does heal back, if it heals from the outside in, you're going to always have some kind of infection or disease from it. But if it's healed from the inside out, that's when God has his hand in it. And God starts the healing process. And when God starts the healing process, we don't have to worry about no infection. We don't have to worry about disease. But the doctors think that they know more than what God does. A whole lot of them do. They don't. But I will say this. I know it's a whole lot of people around the country They just don't believe in doctors. They don't believe that they need to take the child to a doctor. Well, they says, no, says, if God wants them healed and brought back and everything, God will do it. Ain't got to go to no hospital. Ain't got to see no doctor. And I know y'all have heard of people dying because they wouldn't go to a doctor. And I go back to the old saying, and I'm probably some of y'all have heard this saying too, that my mother-in-law, Grace Sowell, she would always say this. When we knew better than what to do, when we knew something we had to do, and when we wouldn't do it because we're stubborn, she'd always say, just remember one thing. That God put a head on your shoulders. And in between them two ears that you have, He places a brain there. And that right there is not for you just to hang a hat on every now and then. He gives you a brain to use. He gives you a mind to think about. And a whole lot, and I know what the Word of God says about the mind. Our mind needs to be focused on nothing else but the Lord. But people are foolish, really. They don't think God does. They don't think really God done anything before He even created Adam and Eve. They don't think God done anything. They think He was just lazy. That's what you think about Him today. Oh, he's just lazy. He's got you doing His dirty work for Him. It ain't no dirty work. The dirty work would be if He allowed me to go to hell. That'd be the dirty work. No, He's done so much more for me than I could even think about ever doing for Him. But He give us the Scripture for a reason. And what is that reason? That we can be better individuals. We can be better parents. We can be better husbands. We can be better wives. We can be better daughters. We can be better brothers. And we could be a better Christian. The book of Hebrews, that's what it speaks about. That's what Hebrews is all about. Is how good is your life? Can you make your life better than what it is? That's not even where I'm going to go tonight, but I'm going to go to this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read two verses. No, three verses here. And then I'm going to just give a little something out of these three verses right here that I believe will help us. And then we're going to just close the book and we're going home. And hallelujah, and I may... When I said we're going home, H-O-M-E, you know, that's what heaven spells. Heaven, it starts with a H. H. And that's what our home needs to be like. It needs to be heaven on earth. And we can learn a whole lot by the Scripture. But it says right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 15, it's, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We have been taught that. since we was a child. I know I didn't go to church all that much until later on in life. But when I was a small child, and when I was nothing but a baby and then got up to 2 or 3 years old, my mother did take me to church. She took me down to Ringo Baptist Church. And I can remember real vividly the day that my mother got saved and she was baptized at Ringo Baptist Church. And she will be the first to tell you that she has not always lived the life that somebody would be thanking the Lord for. She will tell you that she's always also made mistakes. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll say the same thing, that we have not always walked with the Lord. We have sometimes made mistakes. Some of them are huge mistakes. Some of them are small mistakes. And when I'm speaking of mistakes, I'm speaking of the word sin. And you know what God's word says about sin? In God's sight, there's no little sin, as there's no big sin. It's just sin. Sin. See, before I got saved, I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin. One sin. What was that one sin on my life then? Well, I mean, you know, I could name a bunch of them. But he said it's just one sin that he's wanting from my lips, that I would not reject him. See, that's a sin. That's the only sin he's talking about then. Is it sin that where we will reject him? And when we reject him, then we don't have but one other place to go to and to look forward to, and that's hell. But I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God that tells us also that the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes in. And the Holy Ghost is what will carry us to the Lord. And while the Holy Ghost is living within us, and I believe He's living within us, and I believe, now some people say, well, you know, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. But I believe this. As soon as an individual is convicted, make sure you get it all. When an individual gets convicted, how do they get convicted? By the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what brings conviction. And that same Holy Ghost gives me conviction for my own life, that I have to live with the convictions that I have. And everybody's got a different conviction that they have to live by. But they have to live by it where they don't have to worry about it. They don't have to get sick over it. If they don't have to worry about it, they don't get sick over it and everything, then God has graciously give them something that can help them over the stump or over the tree. And I believe this. As soon as the Holy Spirit comes in, convicts my... I know this. I believe this. Now, I'm not going to say it's for everybody. I'm not going to tell people that what they need to believe. You just need to read God's Word. And you need to let the Lord speak to you about it. But with my own life, the life that I was living before. And when that one day that I saw that individual, that man, come out of that convenience mart store, and he opened the driver's door and he got in on the driver's side, and I could see him because I was getting in my pickup to come home. And I was right there at the stoplight. And I could see him because the stoplight's right here. The convenience mart was right over there across the on the other side of the light. His truck, he was the only one there as far as had a vehicle. He come back out. He opened that door. He got in the seat, in the driver's seat. And I seen him when he put his key in the ignition switch. And when he put his key in the ignition switch, he didn't have no opportunity to turn that key. He didn't have the strength to turn that key. Why didn't he have his strength? He was gone just like that. He just didn't have a heart attack and they rushed him to the hospital. Yeah, they called a life-saving crew. The store did. They called a life-saving crew and they came by and picked him up. They worked on him there. Then he took him to the hospital. And a couple days later, I come to find out that when he slumped over the steering wheel, he was gone. Wasn't nothing else nobody could do for him. See, I believe within that happening, and I'm not saying that I caused it. I didn't cause it. But I say this much. The Lord Jesus knew what it would take for me to get to start thinking about what my life is all about. And I come home that afternoon, and when I did, I went and told Shelby, I said, now see, we get through eating. We're going to get an automobile, we're going to J.C. Penney. That's when it was in Blue Park. She said, what are we going up there for? I said, I got to get some clothes. I got to get some decent looking clothes. She said, why wrong? I said, because I'm going to church Sunday. I went to church. Was that individual, was he the cause of it? No, I don't believe he was the cause of it. But I know this. If he was saved, he was there in heaven. And he was the one that was shouting the victory when I got saved. And I believe that Sunday morning when I went to church and I sat back on that pew. And I wish I could knew his first name, but last name I'll never forget. And his name, he was a missionary. I don't know a missionary, I don't know where he was from. But he was a missionary. And you talking about preach, Lord mercy. He preached. He preached about hell. I mean, he preached, I'm going to tell you something, he preached it so strong and so hard that you could feel the heat coming up from the pew, coming up from below you. Showing me and the other people, that's where you're going. If you don't turn from your wicked ways. He preached about hell. How hot hell is. But you know, a whole lot of preachers, and I've I've done this before myself. I'd go in and I'd preach about heaven. How heaven is going to be. How happy we're going to be. And what all we're going to have there in heaven. We're going to be able to see our loved ones that's gone on before us. We're not going to have to worry about no eyeglasses. Ain't going to have to worry about no artificial limbs. Ain't going to have to worry about nothing else. Because we're going to take on the glorified body if we're saved. But then I'd end up on hell. And I've come to find out in later years what I need to start on. It's hell. Letting people know what is there. What is there? What they are looking forward to. I mean, they're not looking forward to it that they're excited about going to hell. I'm talking about that's what their life, the life that they live, that they're going to have to look forward to. I don't understand people. I've told people before, and I'll tell them again. If there's something wrong with my life, the reason they won't come to church, or the reason they can't come and bow before a holy God and ask Him to save you, that if I'm any kind of hindrance at all, all they have to do is just tell me. And I would turn my Bible and I would close it. And I would turn around and I'd go and sit on a pew. I had a friend. Real close friend. We run around together. And after I got saved, I went to him. And I don't know why, but it looked like when you first get saved, you just got so much built up in you. Speaking about that cup overflowing, I mean, it just starts overflowing. It spills out on you and everybody else around you and everything. And you just can't hold it in. You just need to go tell somebody. You ever been like that? I have. I tell you what. Overflowing with milk and honey. Overflowing with the blessings of God. Overflowing with knowing in my own soul that I'm not going to hell, that I'm going to a heaven that is prepared for me and you and the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven, they don't even know anything about none of what all this is going on. They don't know anything about rejoicing. Only thing that they do, the Bible does say there in one verse, that said one angel in heaven is rejoicing over one individual that will come to the Lord. I don't believe it's the same type of rejoicing that we experience down here when we get saved. But we can rejoice. How can I rejoice? Who brought me to that point in my life to where I could rejoice? To where He stamped approval on my life. Says, now there, you can rejoice. It was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It was none other than God the Father, Jehovah Jireh. The Jehovah God that we serve. Yes, I love Jehovah. Because Jehovah, He's my Father. And I will go out here and I will witness for my Father. So if they want to, anybody want to call me Jehovah's Witness, they can go right ahead. I don't care. But they're going to get the truth from me. They're going to get the Word of God. They're going to get where the Word of God speaks about the Holy Ghost. It speaks about the Holy Spirit. It don't speak about the Helper. Where it says in John chapter 14 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. But if you take one of their Bibles that they tote around with them, and it's a little small Bible that they tote with them, and actually the same Bible they got, it's a larger Bible. But if you ever come to your house again, and I know sometimes we just want him a lot of men, which it's been a year or two since they've been to my house. The last time that they was there, and I went outside, it was two ladies. She come by and she said, I just got something here I want to leave you, which is a watchtower. Where's nothing else but just a piece of paper the way you can take it, use to light a fire with. That's about all it is. And they was explaining to me all their doctrine and what they believed in and what they trusted in. And they spoke probably about 10, maybe 15 minutes. And I asked her, I says, now. She says, I think, well, when it took enough of your time, says, we need to go. I said, well, can you hold on a second, if you don't mind? She said, well, okay. I says, now, I was gracious enough to give you 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I mean, how many minutes it was. I said, can you show me the enough respect for me to share the same amount of time with you? The other lady said, yes. I said, well, you know, you go on. And they had their little Bible, and which was about that big, and well, about that thick, but it was the Old Testament and New Testament and everything. And I asked them, I says, would you mind hand me your Bible? I got a verse of scripture I want to read to you. And I'm going to read it to you according to God's word. According to the very words that settle there in heaven, that was written in the Greek form. And then we got the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew form. I said, you mind if I read a verse out of your Bible? She says, no. And she handed me her Bible. And when she did, I read over in John 14. 14, I think the first verse, it was 16. I think what it was, I believe. Let me see. That's one verse I can't remember. I don't know why, but there it says this, that and I'm gonna close. I promise you, I'm gonna close with this. Chapter 14, verse 16. It says this. This right here is Jesus speaking. It's not John. It's not Paul. It's not God. This is Jesus. His words that come from his mouth. Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In verse 17 it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then we have verse 26 over there. And it says, but I think when we reading the scripture, especially when we anytime we're reading it and it has that word B-U-T at the starting of the verse that we're reading, we need to just to stop right there and don't read nothing else until we really think about that but. Who is that but speaking about? Speaking about the one that we want individuals to hear about. It says, but the Comforter. But the Comforter. Now, if I just stopped there and don't read nothing else, you say, but the Comforter. You say, well, yeah, you got a helper right there. Because see, that Comforter, he does help me. He helps me every day of life. He helps me when I read the Word of God. He helps me when I do this. But see, he don't stop there. The Lord Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. See, the Father's sending the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is telling us right there that he is sending the Holy Ghost by the Father. Because that's what the Father wants us to understand, that we must remember the Holy Spirit. We must remember the Holy Ghost. We don't need to just remember the Comforter, because we know the Comforter is there, because when you got the Holy Spirit and when you got the Holy Ghost, you have the Comforter. There are three there in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You have the Comforter, you have the Holy Ghost, and you have the Spirit of God. The three in one. I'm gonna get up maybe a lesson, maybe do it on Sunday night or Wednesday night, on what the numbers represent in God's Word. Whom the Father will send in my name, he, a lot of people out here think the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is. It's just the word right there. I've had people even come to me and say, you know, I don't believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Spirit. But I don't believe God meant for us to look at it as a ghost. I says, now, what you got to realize, you got to look at it. And you got to analyze and you got to realize this. What do you see when you imagining something or you think it's a ghost? What do you see? you see nothing. The only thing that you see is the effect of the ghost. That the furnace or the heating system or the air conditioning can come on and come to the return of the ducts and everything. And that return can make them curtains move. Or can make them chandeliers also move. But I want to ask you something. Did you see anybody go over to them curtains and move them curtains? No. Did you see anybody go get a lighter or get a long pole and a long stick and put it up there next to the light and tap the light where the light will start moving? No. You can say that's the ghost. Only thing you've seen of the ghost was the effect of it. It's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, if you know, you can believe that. You know, that's all right. I said, but you know, I'm going to read what my Bible says. I'm going to read it. I've even known preachers even get up here and read the Word of God and even up there and read it where it says, it's speaking about hell and everything else. I mean, they say, well, you know, that other place, heaven. But they will not come out and say anything about hell. They cannot come out and spell it out, H-E-L-L, hell. The reason we can't spell it out is because we don't want to spell it out. Because it's going to affect us. Because it's a good possibility that maybe where we're going. If we are known to. Hey, this is the Word of God. Jesus Christ gave us the Word of God. And in, over there in second, I mean in where was that? Let's see. I'm going to read this scripture right here. I promise I'm going to leave out. Well, I'm going to close my book as soon as I read it. Right here. Verse 16 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says this. All scripture. It doesn't say all this scripture except when we think it's a word of profanity that comes out. That there is speaking about hell and speak and it got the word in there, A-double-S, ass and all of that. And we can't say that. But he says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It doesn't say anything about all scripture is given it given by the inspiration of man. It don't say anything about, well, all scripture is given here by the inspiration of Paul. It don't say that. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, God the Father. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The doctrine. We believe in the doctrine of His Word, everything in Him. If we don't do, if we leave one doctrine out and say, well, I can't handle that one, then you might as well go on and throw the rest of them out. I mean, that's just like
just like a whole lot of preachers. They get up there preaching. And they say, I preach from the Word of God. I preach from the King James Bible. I preach from the 1611. But there's a whole lot of them.
They will preach on any other verse in the Bible. In any other chapter in the Bible. But they'll leave 1 Timothy chapter 3 alone. They won't read that. Why? Because they know when to read it that they're wrong. And what I'm speaking of is being the husband of one wife. It doesn't mean to be the husband of one wife until y'all disband or separate or something like that. See, God does not. He does not condone that. He does not condone that. But people won't look at that verse, and that verse right there is just as much a sin as I say to God. I say, God, I'm sorry. I know the Holy Spirit's been convicting me about this and that. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I just can't give it up. And I just got to say no. If I say no too many times, he's going to say no to my blessings. He's going to take me home. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And now, God, I pray that you'll just help us, Father, with your word. Father, we know, Lord, when I stand and when I try to preach, and Father, when I try to expound thy word. And Father, I know, Lord, when you give it to me. Father, sometimes I will bring it out in a way that it's confusing to people. And Father, that it's all jumbled up and the people can't quite understand it. But Father, each and every time that I do stand and preach, I pray, Father, that you'll take the very words that comes from these lips, the way it gives you praise, glory, and honor, that you will take it and put it in the right order. You will put it in the right place where it needs to be, where the sentence will make sense, where the word there will make sense to us as people. Because, Father, really, when it comes right down to it, I can read the Word of God and it don't make sense to me. I just don't understand why you love me so much and how you could love me and how you could bless me. But I thank you for that, Father. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll go with each one of us this week. And, Father, my prayer is that you will lay it on each one of our hearts. Somebody that we could just call and just invite them to church. Invite them to church and invite them to the Jubilee. Lord, maybe some individuals that we haven't spoke to in a while. Maybe a year or two, or maybe three or four, maybe 5 years. Lord, but my prayer is that you'll put it on each one of the hearts that are here today. Even my own heart, Lord. Lay it on my heart that I can contact the individual that you want me to contact. And Father, we never know the next individual that we contact. We are giving them a chance to bypass hell and go to heaven with us. We don't know who's going to hell and who ain't. So, Father, we must live the life that is the souls that we look upon and we see. That the word hell comes to the forefront of our thoughts. Father, we want to thank you. And we pray, Father, this week that we would do something to bring you a blessing. The Father, that it will bless your soul. And we thank you for meeting with us this evening and meeting with us this morning. Thank you for your precious, precious word. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Well.